We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, Jalen Brunson has been the type of player Knicks fans have been waiting for a long time.
Since a guy named Clyde.
Like I said, that's a long time. Four consecutive clutch free throws from Jalen Brunson. Another 30-point game. He is the gift that keeps on giving. And the Knicks lead by four with 4.3 remaining.
Yeah, infallible, indomitable, incredible is Brunson.
All righty. Well, they're not all going to be pretty, but that's okay. The Knicks did what they so often do, and that is find a way to win a ball game that maybe other teams would not be able to win. And that's because I think we could say it now, with one game left in this regular season, a regular season that has been really, as many have said, a roller coaster. It's featured a lot of ups and downs. But it is building momentum. It is gaining momentum at exactly the right time. And I say that even in light of the fact that they got off to they were down 26-9 in this game to the Brooklyn Nets, who, aside from just sucking, we're missing a bunch of guys, and we could talk a little bit about why that happened. I think there were some reasons that are, I don't think I would term anything concerning. I think some of it was personnel. A lot of it was, the fact that Isaiah Hartenstein missed this game. We'll get back to that in a second. They also had no Deuce tonight. So the Knicks were a little bit shorthanded, aside from obviously missing Julius Randle, and they got down and, not that it didn't matter. Of course it matters. You're down by 17 points. It doesn't matter who you said down 17 to. It's like, that's a legitimate thing to be worried about. And yet, I don't think anybody watching this game was like, oh, I guess the Knicks are just going to lose tonight, and that's going to be a dispiriting loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Cause that's not what they do. It's not what this team's done on really all year, but especially as they've really coalesced and come together over the last bunch of months. And I think what's been nice about this recent winning streak is there's something that happens in each game where you're like, man, that's an important development. Like, some things are givens, right? Like Jalen Brunson being one of the greatest Knicks of all time, a guy who is about to finish top five in MVP, in all likelihood is going to make first team All-NBA. Like, Jalen Brunson being awesome eventually, even if he might get off to a slow start like he did in this game, that's a given. You know that's going to happen. You know he's going to go 4-for-4 from the free throw line down the stretch to seal the deal. You know he's going to make tough buckets. You know he's going to make the right decision every time. Hello, 11 assists to zero turnovers. How many point guards in the league are pulling off that stat line? He just makes the right decision every time. Doesn't mean the shot's going to go in every time he takes it. Makes the right decision every time. And you know that. You know Josh Hart is going to be a madman. And you know, he's had better stat lines, especially over this run where he's been a starter, you know, but only 7 rebounds, which for him is like nothing, only 1 assist. Josh Hart knew the assignment tonight and he came through. because they needed him for his energy. They needed him for his toughness. They needed him, and most of all, in that third quarter, playing second fiddle to a guy we're going to talk about in a second. They needed his defense and his finishing, everything. Like, again, on a game in a game where a lot of guys, like a few guys, you're missing some guys. You're missing Hartenstein, huge part of your offense. You're missing Deuce McBride. He's a big source of threes. DiVincenzo didn't really have D tonight, 2 for 8. You know, Brunson got off to a slow start. They needed Josh Hart's offense, you know, including, by the way, 2 made threes in 3 attempts. But again, you know more or less what you're going to get from Josh Hart. And you know more or less what you're going to get from OG Anunoby at this point. Because that dude, man, he's like, you know, I feel like it's the Jaws music should play with him. Because, you know, that shark, he's biding his time. He's biding his time. He's biding his time. First half, didn't score. You know, defense was his usual level, but like nothing out of the, nothing eye popping. And then third quarter, I mean, really third quarter, almost single-handedly, again, with the assistance of Josh Hart, and everybody played really hard on defense in that third quarter. But OG Anunoby just completely took the Nets game plan and ripped it to shreds in front of their faces. And that's what he could do. He could change a game by himself with what he does on the defensive end and obviously what he could do in transition. But we know all that. So why was this win nice? What is the thing we're going to take away from this win? Think maybe, just maybe, Mitchell Robinson is back. And Mitchell Robinson has been back in the lineup now for several weeks. And yet at no point have I ever felt watching him since he has returned from an extended injury absence, like the Mitch that we fell in love with at the beginning of this. I mean, we fell in love with him the day he first stepped onto the court in Vegas during Summer League. I mean, the guy that, when I say we fell in love with his potential as maybe a defensive or not potential, his actualization of his potential. There we go. I got there. As a defensive player of the year candidate. That's where he was over the first 20 whatever games of the season. I think what we saw tonight on defense, don't jump and don't get baited by a 3-point shooter, Mitch. Other than that, though, as the game went on, first half left a little bit to be desired, but it was better than Jericho Sims. Second half really turned it on. Also on the in terms of the offensive rebounding, grabbed 6 offensive rebounds. Did Mitchell Robinson in this game, and then of course the lead story on the night, ahead of Brunson, ahead of Hart, ahead of OG. Precious gave him a couple good minutes there in the first half. He was solid, very solid. We will not mention Alec Burks' name, or at least I won't mention his name again until he gets brought up in the super chats. The lead story from this game, Mitchell Robinson getting fouled 3 times intentionally, but he went to the line 8 total times in the fourth quarter, made 5 of those. And kudos, I didn't even realize this. Fred Katz just tweeted it out. Mitchell Robinson played the entire fourth quarter. And this is his coach. Mitch makes plays no one else can. He ain't lying. And that's why, for as frustrating as Mitch can be at times, when you know, it's like, oh my God, the guy can't even always catch a ball cleanly. It's worth it, because the upside, the ceiling, and the things, as Tibbs says, that he does that nobody else can. And then to come through with those made free throws, 1 of 2, 1 of 2, 1 of 2. And then the big one, made both of his attempts when the Nets fouled him with 3 seconds to go before the 2-minute mark, which if you intentionally foul someone after the 2-minute mark, it goes down as an intentional foul. You get the 2 free throws and the ball back, so you can't do it. And I thought that was the play of the game. Yeah, Brunson made a big basket after that, but the big bucket that Brunson made after that, how did that happen? Well, it only happened because after Jalen Brunson missed a shot initially, Mitchell Robinson got the rebound. So winning plays for Mitchell Robinson down the stretch of this game. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him. They're going to need him because they, again, you can't. We love the Knicks starting five. I love the Knicks starting five. The Knicks starting five is really, really, really solid. You can't win in the playoffs with 5 guys. You can't even really win with 6. you need seven. You need like 6.5, 7, you know? And we all have a lot of faith in Deuce. Missed tonight with an illness. We hope he gets better soon. Bogey, you know, Bogey finished 3 of 11 tonight. And I thought the buckets he gave them were big buckets in the moment, in 19 minutes. He was a -1 in 19 minutes. And I don't think that's a misnomer. And that's even with the Burks minutes, which were, some of those were pretty rough. We're going to need Mitch. And we're going to need Mitch in particular because Mitchell Robinson, the way this team has been built, where, yeah, Jalen Brunson's the MVP candidate, but they just built everything around their centers. They built everything around their centers on both ends of the floor. And they need that for 48 minutes. It's why they went out and signed Isaiah Hartenstein for what they did. And it's why they never wanted to trade away Mitch. It's why I think I continue to hold out hope that there is a world next season where both of those guys are back playing a big role because they need them both. Trying to think if I have anything else to really say about this game. I mean, just great fight. The third quarter was like one of the best quarters the Knicks have played all season. I know it came against the Nets, but that was awe-inspiring stuff from the Knicks, especially on the defensive end in the third quarter. And you know what? I'm going to do something that, you know, Andrew's going to yell at me for, but what's right is right. Give credit to the Nets. This team has absolutely nothing to play for. Zero. As I said, missing a bunch of their guys. And like they came out and they gave a representative effort tonight. And they got hit in the after they went up big and the Knicks had a 28-point turnaround, turned a 17-point deficit to an 11-point advantage in the third quarter. Brooklyn did not wilt. Now, again, the Knicks backup minutes had a little bit to do with that, but they didn't wilt. They didn't go away. And Cam Thomas, look, Cam Thomas is not my cup of tea. I'm not sure I'd want him on my basketball team because if he's on your team, he's going to take a million shots. But there are nights where he takes a million shots and he makes a lot of them. And tonight was one of them. I mean, the dude was unconscious. I think the luckiest part actually for the Knicks is probably that Lonnie Walker, who was even more unconscious in the first half, started missing and really actually wasn't really involved as much in the second half. But yeah, 41 from Cam. Good job by him, but better job by the Knicks. And who would have thought this on June 30th, 2019, nearly 5 years ago, that we'd be sitting here with the Knicks on the verge of 50 wins with a record of 49-32. Well, little brother, 32-49. How you doing? On that note, let us get to our segments, which are going to be jam-packed. I got a special guest coming on for one of those segments, which is good because I just realized my computer is not plugged in, and I need to duck under the table to plug it in. So I'm going to go do that when he comes up here in a few minutes. But first,
if you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, your new home for watching Knicks games and the new home of Knicks Film School watch parties. Located at 7 East 42nd Street, just a short walk from Grand Central, take it from me, this place has everything for a sports fan. Knicks fans, here in the final week of the regular season, it's time to scoreboard watch. Head to T-Squared Social and watch the Knicks on the largest screen in New York City, all without missing what's going on in Orlando, Milwaukee, Cleveland, or Philly. You could also keep track with what's what's going on with the Rangers as they push for the President's Trophy, or watch the Mets and Yankees as baseball season is underway. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
The Unified Healing, Road to Recovery. You've heard us talk about Unified Healing for a while now. Very happy to have them as a sponsor here on the postgame show. You can learn more about Unified Healing by going to unifiedhealing.com. That is UNIFYD. healing.com to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's Unified with a Y, UNIFYD healing.com. The Unified Healing Road to Recovery. So tonight, interesting, Isaiah Hartenstein plays over 30 minutes last night, including, I believe, the entire fourth quarter. It was the most minutes he's played since he came back from the Achilles injury, which he suffered, I believe, initially in January. And tonight, out. Achilles injury management. So this upset some people, naturally. Not going to name any names. But as soon as he was listed as being out, I don't think Fred will mind me saying this. I texted Fred, I think, earlier today, and I'm like, was this a planned day off? Because it would make a lot more sense if you push Hartenstein past the 30-minute mark, which you remember, if you remember, back when he first came back, he spoke very openly about what the plan was for his recovery timeline. And he was frustrated. There was a game where he only played like 12 minutes, and he's like, the plan is for me to play like around 20 and then ramp it up back to get to 30 minutes by the playoffs. And I was like, it would make a lot of sense that last night against Boston was the night where it's like, okay, here we go. Let's push it to 30. And then with the understanding that tonight would be a day off because it's the second night of a back-to-back, and they're not going to have any more back-to-backs because now it's the playoffs and there are no back-to-backs in the playoffs. And Tibbs didn't say that verbatim before the game, but he kind of implied like this was always kind of the idea. He was, you know, second night of a back-to-back, Hartenstein wasn't going to play. So there's no concern level there for Isaiah. If anything, everybody should be happy. They're just working on making sure Isaiah is fresh for the playoffs because God knows they need him, because some of those minutes early on with Jericho Sims, yeesh. Jericho Sims, nice player. He's a third big on a good team. So that's Isaiah Hartenstein. Dusik Pride, in illness. Interesting there only because Tibbs said before the game that he thought Deuce would play. He was listed as questionable with an illness, and then he was a late scratch, and with the questionable tag. So you figured Deuce, I mean, guy like Deuce, you know that dude had to be really sick to miss the game. And then Jalen Brunson was probable, but like the notion that he wasn't going to play is pretty. He was going to play. He was definitely going to play. Okay, I think that's it. That has been the Unified Healing Road to Recovery. And I now am going to welcome aboard my good buddy, Andrew Claudio.
You hey, buddy. Want me to what? Want you what?
See a magic act?
Yes, let's see it.
Here for the next 3 seconds.
Yes, by John. What? He's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat, too. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to T-Squared Social. This is your out-of-town scoreboard presented by T-Squared Social, the new home for Knicks Film School watch parties. Get a free draft beer if you go there and tell them that Knicks Film School sent you. If you want to get involved with their memberships, whether it be simulation golf or one of their golf simulators or duck pin bowling or darts, they have trivia every Friday night. That's something my wife and I are most likely going to take advantage of this summer. So see if you know who I am with trivia. See if you can beat me in trivia throughout the summer. But head on over to T-Squared Social. They're right off of 42nd Street, just a couple blocks away from Grand Central. And they're going to help me go through the out-of-town scoreboard with the one Jonathan Macri as we update you live on what's going on. So, John, you seem to want to know, and you know I've been like simulating it throughout the week, what the scenarios are for the playoffs. So if you want to update people on the actual scoreboard, and then I'll help with the scenarios.
Okay, so let's start with the scoreboard. Which, man, what a night in the NBA, by the way. Can I just say, like, just like live, I got my two screens going here. The Lakers are hanging on to a 4-point lead against, you can't even call this team the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Because it's the hustle. It's the Memphis hustle. 13 players listed as out before this game, which I believe was some kind of league record. Lakers holding on for dear life again in Memphis. Anthony Davis and LeBron James both playing. I know nobody watching really cares about what's going on out west, but like, just I find that nuts. You never know what's going to happen late in the season. And then on the other TV here, I got the Wolves down 2 to the Hawks. This game means nothing for the Hawks. The Hawks aren't playing their guys. And the Wolves are still trying to get home court advantage here against the either the Nuggets or actually try not to fall down to third. Karl Anthony Towns just a big shot to put him up by one. Okay, let's get to the relevant stuff.
Well, hold on. There's another element out west that just happened. It just went final. We know this very well, but Victor Wembanyama and co just what defeated the Nuggets.
What did Wemby do, actually?
He didn't have the game-winning shot, but he had a good net. I can pull it up. He had 34.
I got it already. I got it.
Never mind.
Yeah. Sorry. That's my bad. 34 and 12 with 5 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal to Jokic. I mean, these guys are going to battle just for so long. Jokic only 22 and 12 with 22 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds. Only took 13 shots. Anyway.
measly 22 points. Yeah.
I mean... But
like that's the Jokic standard. He missed 4 shots tonight and we're like, "Oh, measly 22 points." But 22 6 and 12 tonight, you know.
But like every year there is a result that happens in the last weekend of the season that there's real stakes and you're like, "Holy shit."
I would actually push back. This is the first year I can remember these games mattering in a long time, you know? Like that all these games matter is I think the
in
more
the West they
part.
Did last year.
In the West, yeah, but
in the West, they mattered a lot last year.
So I think the cool part about what we're about to go over is we're going into game 82 of the season for everybody. And there's still like barely anything clinched. The Celtics will be the one seed. The Bulls and Hawks will play in the play-in. And the
Mavs and Clippers.
The Mavs and Clippers, that series is matched up. Barely anything else as far as matchups is actually decided at the moment. So, yeah.
Okay. So here, 1-point game now in Memphis is unbelievable. Okay, so Cavs, biggest game. Well, actually, maybe not the biggest game of the night because there are 2 biggest games of the night. Cavs beat the Pacers in Cleveland. I had the game on the whole time. Obviously, I was on what?
I'd argue 3 big games for the night.
I mean, there's a lot of big games. But in terms of like 2 East teams fighting for position, like with each other, like playing each other.
Yes.
So from what I saw, I don't know if I would define that as the most impressive win from the Cavs. The Pacers got real close late, but Cavs did just enough. Big Darius Garland step back to really give them a cushion late in the last minute. And then down I-95 from us, the 76ers survived not only the Magic, but a injury scare from Joel Embiid, who came back in the second half after appearing to injure his knee or his foot or something in the first half. Had a big game, 125-113 over the Magic. Was the third game you're referring to Bucks Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gave the Knicks a tie of the 2 seed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't consider a big game only because there's no Dame, and like the Bucks fought valiantly, but it was a 125-107 Thunder victory.
I didn't really think the Valiant... I mean, fine, Valiant effort was not losing by 20, but they lost by 18. I think the reason that
they were in it for a while.
They were in it for a while. You're right. I think the Nets were in it for a while tonight. I think the Bucks fought valiantly, like you said. I think the funny part about how our semantics is here with me calling this a big game. If the Bucks win this game, Sunday does not matter, Jonathan. Or not as much as it would in the sense that the Knicks could jump up to the 2 seed. They'd be playing for 3 or 4, which does matter the placement, but
yeah. Yeah,
they needed the Bucks to lose out is the point.
Yeah, Sunday would have. If the Bucks won this game, Sunday would have still mattered for the Knicks because they could have fallen out to 4 where there was a scenario there.
Yes, because if they lose and the Cavs win on Sunday, then they drop to 4. If both teams win and the Bucks had won tonight, then the Knicks are 3 and they're locked in and potentially play the Sixers, which we're all trying to avoid.
Okay, so on that note.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tweet directly from Tim Bontemps. With Cavs winning tonight, the Sixers will finish 6th. Here's with a win, They play, what terrible team do they play on Sunday? I forget who that.
The Sixers? They play this Nets team that you were impressed by tonight.
I mean, they fought. So yes. with a win against Brooklyn, and in or either an Orlando loss or an Indiana win. Now they will okay, but it can't be both. I think is the key, because here's how the Sixers finished seventh. They win and Orlando wins and Indiana wins, because that is a three-team tiebreaker, which Orlando wins by virtue of their division win. And then then Pacers win their season series tiebreaker with Philly. So here is why this is. Well, actually, hold on. You're going to see my brain pour out of my ears in a second. So Orlando plays Milwaukee on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So if Orlando wins in Milwaukee, we're going to talk this out. You're going to be here you're going to be my support person.
You're good. I know where you're trying to go. I will help you get there.
Okay. I think we can get there. I love how you see how my mind works so well.
I know it well. I've worked with you for a while. Okay.
So Orlando beats Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, God willing, beat the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Knicks are the 2 seed in that scenario.
Yes. Yes.
Then if Indiana wins, Philly is the 7 seed.
Yes.
And we play Philly. Or we
play the winner of the Heat or Miami. The Sixers.
You're getting Philly or Miami. Now, here's my question. Indiana, do they still have something to play for on Sunday?
Yes.
To stay out of the play-in potentially?
If they lose on Sunday against the Hawks and Philly wins, they drop to 7. And the Sixers actually drop up. In the scenario that we're talking about, that the Knicks win and the Magic win, the Pacers drop to 7 into that play-in.
Yep. Okay.
And the Sixers jump up to 5, actually.
And the Sixers jump up to 5.
We're saying the Magic win Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they would be 47-35, okay. But they just lost the tiebreaker tonight to Philly, so the Bucks would be the 4, and okay. The yes. Sixers okay. would be the 5.
Okay, so that means if the Knicks win, and Orlando wins, and Philly wins, and Indiana wins, we're playing the winner of Miami-Philly.
Yes.
Now.
But if the Hawks beat the Pacers, then we're the 2, and we're playing Indiana or Miami.
I don't think Pacers are losing to the Hawks, although, you know.
I don't either. But the Hawks, as you just valiantly pointed out, or pointed out their effort tonight.
They just got a fast break. That's a 1-point game. My goodness gracious. Okay. Yep. Anyway.
Hawks came with nothing to play for, though. So there's a chance that this is their last competitive game until the play-in.
Yeah, but they didn't play anyone tonight, the Hawks. Like, they sat their guys. I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at who they have out there on the floor right now at the end of the fourth quarter. There's nobody.
DeJounte Murray's on the team. Trae Young played tonight.
Yes, but they're not playing.
Oh, you're saying
now.
In crunch time they're not playing anybody. Okay.
Okay. So now, different scenario. Milwaukee wins.
Milwaukee wins. Okay.
On Sunday.
They beat
Orlando.
They're the 2 seed.
They're the 2 seed. The Knicks win. They're the 3 seed.
Yes.
That means Orlando loses.
They go into the play-in against. So it's fascinating. Do you consider a chance at all that the Heat lose to the Raptors? We're just giving the Heat a win. So then,
giving the Heat a win.
If Orlando loses and Indiana wins, Orlando's the 8th seed and they play Miami in Miami.
But again, concerning the Knicks, assuming Philly wins, assuming the Knicks win, Orlando loses to Milwaukee and Indiana wins, Philly's the 6?
The Philly's the 6, and the Pacers and the Cavs are the 4-5.
So if the Knicks win on Sunday and Philly wins on Sunday and Indiana wins on Sunday,
then the Knicks are the 2, and you're saying Orlando wins Sunday?
So this is where I was trying to get to. the three things that are likely to happen, Indiana wins, Knicks win, Philly wins. Mm-hmm. If those three things happen, which they should all happen,
mm-hmm.
then the odds are the Knicks will play Philly one way or the other.
Either or in the Miami. 2-7
or Miami, if Miami beats Philly in the play-in game, which, like, again, be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. So we are staring at a first-round series with Philly.
If or Miami. Or if the Knicks might lose on Sunday. Who knows?
If we win. And the last thing I want to go over, and then we'll move on to the Super Chats, is
okay.
if the Knicks tank the game away on Sunday, which I don't even know if they're going to be able to do against whatever Bulls team is going to be out there.
Let's play out the scenario. Give me the floor for a minute, okay?
Yes.
Every home team wins except the Knicks. So the Knicks lose to Chicago on Sunday. So that means Orlando wins. That means Cleveland wins. Miami wins. Philly wins. Everybody else wins. Indiana wins. The Knicks lose. Cleveland gets the two because they have the tiebreaker with Milwaukee.
That's
Milwaukee's right. The three.
And we're the
Knicks
four.
Drop to four because it'd be a three-way tie at 49
and 33.
So they're
not tanking this game.
And even more so, the Magic, because they won, they jump up to five. So the Knicks lose and the Magic win. That's the 4-5. And we're hosting the Magic in the first round. But the Cavs, as now the two seed, would get your scenario of playing Philly in the first round.
So, yeah. So I guess you could say there's a scenario where, but, you know, the Bucks win. And then it wouldn't be the three-way tie, and it would instead be the Knicks in the three,
right.
And that would be the Sixers.
No, but you got it, the Sixers. Every home team wins except the Knicks and Magic, so the Bucks win and the Bulls win.
Yeah,
the
what
Knicks
happens
are the three,
then?
The Knicks are the three, they play the Sixers.
So they're not taking
it. Because the Sixers jump up to...
They're not taking away this game.
Here's the problem, is the Knicks play at 1 o'clock. So
yeah,
they won't know anybody else's result until after.
Well, look, this is all a moot point because the Knicks are not... This organization is not going
to
take
the
game.
I think the Knicks are going to get to their 50th win. That's like besides the point.
I was going to...
You don't want to play Philly.
I just wanted to go through the hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no world where the Knicks would risk Cleveland winning, which they will... And Milwaukee losing, which they definitely could, and falling down to the four in Boston side of the bracket. Yeah.
I think I'm also one of these people, don't want to play. They share your thoughts that they don't want to play the Sixers, right? A healthy Embiid, although he did have a scare tonight, who knows how serious that scare is, especially with a week off, right? The way to avoid it is losing, or Indiana loses to Atlanta. That's really the only two ways. Obviously, Philly could lose. Even if Philly loses, they drop into 7, which is like the Knicks result still would be the 2-7.
My point is the Knicks could lose and still get Philly because they could fall to the 3.
They fall to 3. Six, yep.
1. And I just don't think this Knicks... they're not going to lose a game on purpose. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I think 50 wins might be meaningful to them. I don't think they fear anybody, including Philadelphia. But man alive, the fact that after all this, the odds greatly point to the fact that one way or another, the Knicks are going to be facing the Sixers in the first round is wild.
So the funny thing is, I made the point that the game's at 1 o'clock. So the fact that like games later, like they're not going to be able to know what they're playing for. All these games are at the same time, so we will quite literally be scoreboard watching on Sunday. For those who didn't know, John, they might not know that we will be in the fourth quarter against the Bulls on Sunday, not knowing, or at least seeing, like, oh, yeah. So Philly's up, Indiana's up, loss here drops us down to 4, a win here gives us the 2 seed against the winner of Philly, Miami.
We'll know. I mean... And for anybody who's like, well, maybe Philly tanks because they don't want to face the Knicks. Philly's not tanking themselves into the play-in.
It also wouldn't matter. If Philly tanks and they lose, they're still...
Oh, that's right.
They drop to 8. They're in the play-in anyway.
That's right. That's right.
So if Philly loses, that just means they're in the play-in. If they win, they could still end up in the play-in if Orlando wins.
So
and
what,
Indiana
if,
wins.
If, so really, the only scenario where the Knicks... avoid Philly is if Indy loses?
If Indy loses or we lose and there's a three-way tie for the 2 seed.
In which case, we're the 4.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, do you want to play Orlando first round or do you want to play Philly first round? Personally, I'm just done doubting this Knicks team. So bring him on. I respect Joel Embiid. I get it. Tibbs, respect your opponent. I'm done doubting this Knicks team.
That guy is. He's awesome. And yes.
Meaning Jalen Brunson, you mean, right? That superstar that's going to finish top five MVP. Fine.
You got a first round series featuring maybe the two best players in the East.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're heading for.
Yeah. Bring it on. Are you not entertained?
Jesus Christ.
I'm not even talking cash shit. I'm terrified of Philly. It's a really good player on that other team. I believe in my basketball team.
Tyrese Maxey, who's good, think a borderline All-NBA guy. He's your second best guy.
Yes, totally. I have an Ananobi. I have a Hulk.
I have an army. Okay? You have an army.
We have a Hulk. Okay.
Okay.
So what you're rooting for Sunday, Knicks fans, is in summary, all these teams that need to win except the Bucks play at home. So you're basically, if you're trying to avoid Philly, you need
the Bucks magic, game doesn't matter.
Right. Oh, can I finish? Magic win and the Pacers lose.
You need the Pacers game is the key game.
Right. But no. Because if the Bucks win, they're the two and we play the 3-6. Because if the Pacers lose, you would need you know what? Knicks when they get to 50, Bucks when they get to 50. That's the other way. So a Pacers loss would actually help because they dropped to 8.
How would that help?
So if the Bucks and Hawks win, okay, the Bucks get 2.
Not gonna happen,
the Knicks get 3. I'm just playing the scenario out, John.
I know.
Hawks win. Knicks are the 3. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Because the Bucks won, the Magic would then be 46-36. We're again giving Miami their win. The Magic would be the 7. The Pacers, because they lost to the Hawks, would drop to 8.
Uh-huh.
And it's Knicks Heat.
In the first round.
3-6.
That would be wild. Okay. Let's do some super chats.
You got it.
This is thank you, Andrew, so much for coming on.
I'm sure I helped.
This is wild. Josh Hart, on the Knicks clinching home court advantage in the first round. I heard the lights are really bright at MSG that time. There you go. Okay. Nick Noled. JB looked like garbage in the first quarter and still dropped 30. Yeah, I mean, excuse to talk about that first quarter. Nick Claxton's a really good switch defender, and he showed it. And I think, but even like there was an edge missing from Brunson's game offensively. And I think there was an edge missing from the Knicks because they were not, even when they did get the Claxton not matched up on Brunson, like Brunson wasn't really, I don't know, he wasn't getting to his spots as comfortably. He just didn't kind of, you know, they were definitely not, you know, all the way there on offense in the first half. But to his credit, he just finds a way. He finds the will to do it, and he does it. And that is such a credit to him. And 30 points. And like, it looked like the Nets for a quarter, and really, honestly, for like a lot of the half, had like, not figured him out, but like, you know, really put the clamps on. So credit to Jalen Brunson. Thanks. Good way to start us off. Greg B. What's going on, Greg? Can't believe these Knicks, who we've watched for years, have become a third quarter, second half team. 21-22 was a long time ago. This is the Brunson era. Bring on anyone. So that's the attitude I think a lot of Knicks fans are going to have, right? Is give us Philly, give us Miami, give us Indiana, give us whoever you're going to give us. We got this, right? We got this. And they've earned that right. This team is going to win potentially 50 games against incredible odds. I went through it in a Substack chat earlier today, talking about how all the games missed from between Julius and Mitch and OG and what they traded to get OG and how big a part of the rotation those guys were. I mean, it's just, you know, they've done everything that they have needed to do. And it's pretty special. And yet they not they're not a team that likes to resort to flipping a switch too much, but like when it's winning time, they usually are able to come through, which is really kind of cool to have a team that does that. Good stuff, Greg. Thanks for that. Nez Law, what's going on? Mitch made us proud tonight. Such heart. Great team win. I completely agree with it. That was a great team win. That was a great team win. Because for as much as Brunson gave them a lot of points, they needed Josh Hart. They needed Ojanobi. They needed Mitchell Robinson. I even chatted him out at the beginning. I think they needed the buckets, the couple of buckets that they got from Bojan Bogdanović. You know, so they needed all of those things. And they weren't going to win this game without all of those things. And credit to them for getting what they needed to get. Absolutely. Thanks, Nesla. Anthony Sixto, what's going on, Anthony? Thank you for the generous contribution. Mitch getting his legs, JB ascending, Bojan finding it, OG stepping to Cam like a serial killer. That was a fun moment, man. That was fun. When OG was like, no. After, like, give the Nets credit, they threw a lot of screening. They got OG off Cam a couple times there in the fourth quarter. But Cam couldn't do anything with OG. And then for OG to be the one to get in his face and kind of really indoctrinate himself into this franchise, like officially, like the fans were chanting his name, that's cool. I will be at MSG Sunday to watch the 2 seed clinched with my own eyes. #2 seed, #Eastern Conference Finals, #JeremyJam undefeated. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Look, as you guys can surely tell, I have a lot of respect for Philly. If that's who they end up facing, whether it's as a 2 seed or a 3 seed, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but to potentially be the 2 seed over the Bucks, what that would say, I think, about the organization this year. And like, I don't know, I guess I need to wrap my, I'm not going to say that. You guys know me by now well enough. I think about all scenarios and I think about how different scenarios would play out, what the narrative would be and all those things. Like, if it is Knicks Philly, I have a tough time feeling like we're going to come out of that series being disappointed in our team, win or lose. And I mean that because they just play so damn hard and they're so solid. When they have their full complement of players, they're so solid. So, see what happens. Thanks, Anthony.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Kevin Danishevsky. What's going on, Kev? Remember when people were calling OG soft, LOL? I have a thought on that I'll get back to momentarily. Mitch getting there. meaning getting back. Despite some rough moments, he had a good game. Hard. These playoff scenarios make my head spin. Well, you just saw me react to Andrew Claudio doing everything that he did. Yeah, I'm like the girl from The Exorcist. The OG soft thing was always ridiculous. And like, just like, can't extrapolate out stuff that doesn't deserve to be extrapolated out. And on that note, you know who I haven't seen a tweet from in a little while? Florida man. What's he doing? Covering a lot of tennis, I'm sure. The old Palm Beach Post. Was it Palm Beach Post Dispatch, I think? I don't even know. Mark. Love you, Mark. Thanks, Kevin. Chicklet. I love seeing OG being an enforcer, having JB back. Having JB's back, yeah. Look, I praised Cam Thomas before. The dude's a punk. The dude is an absolute punk. And it was a punk move. Did JB sell it a little bit? Maybe. Still a punk move to do that at the end there. And like, he could score all the points he wants. And he's, I don't know. I think it says a lot that I think there's a lot of fans around the league who wouldn't necessarily want him on their team. But yeah, man, OG, I mean, he looks the part. Right, that dude is massive. He is massive. He's intimidating. The other night was saying, who was at the game, like seeing firsthand how big he is, was just like that. Thought that was notable. Thanks, Chicklet. Rob Thelusma, what's going on, my friend? So we've been playing with half a team for most of the season, and I'm supposed to sweat the Nets, JM? Please, the Knicks will kick your ass. Much love. You respect your opponent, no matter who it is. Got to come ready to play. And if you don't have, I think it's a couple of factors. For one, a lot of talent in the league, and if that talent gets hot, and pretty much everybody can shoot it. If that talent gets hot, and boy, were Lonnie Walker and Cam Thomas hot in the first half, you put yourself in a tough position. Again, I just had two games on where the Wolves were struggling to close out the end of the bench guys for the Hawks, and the Lakers barely survived a game against whatever is left of the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, the NBA, there's a reason that they feel comfortable with expansion is because they feel like they have the talent. The talent is there in the league. And then it's like, you know, you are a little cold and like you don't have your full complement of players. Like no Hartenstein mattered so much in this game, I thought. Less in the second half because Mitch was a boss. But even then, it's like their offense changes a lot when Hartenstein's not in there. But it was great to see Mitch back regardless. Thanks, Rob. Dave Murray, thank you for the contribution. If you have a comment, Kev will make sure to get it up there. By the way, shout out to Kev. He is once again on the ones and twos. Bernard Richardson. The New Jersey Nets stink. Move the team. Maybe this is a stupid question. When we talk about expansion or relocation or any of those sorts of things, like, I guess they're not planning on moving any teams, but there's all these different cities that get bandied about, obviously with Vegas and Seattle being the top two that people talk about, but there are definitely other cities out there that like don't have a team that would probably really want a team and that could support a team as far as having the people to go and all that stuff. Like, would the Nets be the first pick in terms of like teams to move? Just because their fan base is so apathetic and like who would really care if the Brooklyn Nets moved other than 87 people in Brooklyn? I don't know. Probably no one. Thanks, Bernard. By the way, shout out to the Knicks tied up the all-time season series against the Nets. So that's pretty cool. Wilton Moran. What's going on, Wilton? Mitch getting slight pressure free throw attempts is good prep for the playoffs. We'll likely see the scenario again. Maybe. I was reminded in the chat during the playback, because I had forgotten it, frankly, that we saw that against Miami last year in I think it was game five. So the thing I'll say about that also, I know he's a goofball. He's definitely a goofball. And look, you could almost certainly say this about anybody that makes it this far in professional sports. Mitch is a really prideful guy. And like you saw it there on the broad, like when he was at the line and Breen kind of verbalizing, he hates the fact that they're putting him on the line intentionally, you know? So I think it probably meant a lot to him, which is big. Give the dude credit. And it's so cool that he's back and healthy for this playoff run, whatever it turns into, because he's the longest tenured Nick, you know, 6 year with the team. That's it's an eternity with this franchise. An eternity. Thanks, Wilton. Sam Garcia's dad. What's up, Ray? Nets came out fired up for their last playoff game this season. Hashtag two seed. Yeah, they were. I thought they were fired up. I mean, look, Cam's fired up anytime he gets to shoot a basketball. I think they came out and played really hard on defense. And I think they played really hard on defense. And look, like, to their credit, the Nets have a bunch of guys who are like playing for NBA jobs. Like, and Cam Thomas, like, he may not be playing for a job. He's definitely playing for a contract. But like all the rest of these guys, like I'll pull it up, their roster right now. I don't think a lot of these guys have like deals guaranteed for next year. Like Cam Johnson does. He wasn't playing tonight. Mikal Bridges does. He wasn't really instrumental tonight. Like he's talk about not a great end of season for Mikal Bridges. Maybe he's trying to tank his own trade value. I don't know. Nick Claxton's playing for a contract. Noah Clowney's a rookie. Dorian Finney-Smith has a contract. He didn't play tonight, you know? But like all these other guys, like they're playing for real stuff. So it was not Trendon Wofford. That dude's been trying to make it in the league. He was in Portland. Now he's in Brooklyn. Like, not surprised to see them play with that level of effort. So yeah. Thank you, Ray. Jackson McCloskey. What's going on, Jackson McCloskey? Hearing the crowd chant, OG. Oh, it might have been moment of the year for me. Seeing him so integrated into the culture is awesome. Let's fucking go, Knicks. Amen to that. I just love OG Anunoby. I love watching him play. And I love watching the team play when he's out there because he fits so freaking well with how they want to play. Obviously, on defense, goes without saying, on defense, he fits really well. But on offense, too. You know, it's like, it's really, 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 really rare that I see a shot from OG Anunoby and I'm like, ah, that wasn't a great shot. You know, like, there was one tonight that was like a long two, but it was the end of the clock and like he kind of didn't really have a choice but to shoot it and he made it, you know? So, really fun player. I hope you see it for a long time. I expect them to sign him to a contract that's going to pay him an obscene amount of money in a few months. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Thanks, Jackson. Frank Miranda. What's going on, Frank? What's up, Mac? It's your boy, Frank, from Patreon. Of course it is. Thibs should not fall for the Doc Rivers mousetrap in trying to hand us the two seed. Thibs should rest everyone with a pulse on Sunday. Hashtag this is the way. Love KFS. So here's the thing. I don't think Milwaukee's trying to do that because if Milwaukee loses and Cleveland wins on Sunday, Cleveland gets the 3, Milwaukee gets the 4. And Milwaukee is on Boston's side of the bracket. And I don't think I don't. Unless Doc Rivers is playing some sort of 4D chess that I'm not familiar with, I don't think he's trying to get on Boston's side of the bracket. I also think it would be organizationally viewed as a fucking disaster if the Bucks landed in the 4-5 and lost in the second round to Boston, which you do. So, and as we just went through, took us a while to get there, but we got there. Falling to the 3 seed, you still might end up playing Philly. So, you know. Thanks, Frank. John Sands, what's going on? John, indulge me in some pre-playoffs time travel for my all-time favorite Nick. This is an interesting one. Where would Peak Starks fit on this team? Deuce minutes, Dante? I'd love to finally get him the championship he deserved. That's a good question. My only question is, like, Starks... I mean, honestly, I think the same problems that plagued him then are the problems that would plague him now, is that he's an undersized two guard as a defender. And, like, you saw what bigger guards could do against him. One in particular that wore a red jersey but then again, he took advantage of a lot of guys. Like, Starks was like a borderline all defense guy. He may have even made an all defense team at some point. I should know that. I'll look that up. Would he be a starter on a good team? I have to think if John Starks was in the league today, he'd be an even better shooter than he was then, because shooting is just emphasized so much more. And I bet you he'd be a good enough starter, you know, but he didn't go to Villanova. So I'm kidding. He could inhabit the DiVincenzo role for sure. And I think off the bench, he'd be like, that dude would be an asset. He'd be their sixth man. As currently constituted, or as their roster is currently constructed, he'd be a sixth man. He did make all defense. He made all defense in 92-93. Bad job of me that I forgot that. But he got close a couple other years. So I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, he barely made the all defense team in 92-93. He barely missed it in 93-94. Those are the two big years for him defensively. And then he got votes for it in 4 other years. Thanks, John. Good question. I like that. It's shooting. If you could shoot, you could play in this era. As long as you could play a little defense. Phrase Vader. What's going on, Phrase Vader? Let's go ahead and clap it up for the simulation. He had a few shaky moments, but did well overall. Had a huge block and didn't give up. Hashtag, let's freaking go, Knicks. The simulation. Is that... The simulation. Why am I drawing a blank? Am I just like, no, that's not it. I was thinking of the Tibbs clip that's been flying around. I don't know if Andrew's watching me. He could clue me in because I obviously sound like an idiot at the moment. I'll get clued into who the hell we're talking. Are we talking about like Mitch? Did overall. Is he the simulation? Why would Mitch be the simulation? I don't know. Kev, anybody, let me know who we're referring to. Oh, Sims. Oh, I get it. The simulation. That's fine. Sims played better in the second half. I will give him that. He played better in the third quarter. I thought the first half minutes were, for the most part, extraordinarily not good. And I also was happy that he was not out there in the fourth quarter. I'll say that. But like, what does he get? Does he get a C+ for this game? A C? I'll be curious what Benji winds up giving him. Thanks, Phrase Vader. Juwanon! What's going on, Juwanon? Wonder what Ben Simmons was doing tonight. Was he in the arena? I didn't notice. Any matchups outside of our own that you are hoping for? I'll get back to that in a second. Praying some combo with Philly and Miami ends up in the Boston Milwaukee and we end up with whatever's left. So basically at this point, sounds like you're rooting for you're probably going to have to root for Miami in the play-in game. Which, like, can Miami beat Philly in the play-in game? Like, yeah, absolutely, they could beat Philly in the play-in game. If a Miami team beats Philly in the play-in game, am I going to be dancing in the aisles that we get to see that fucking Heat team again? You want to talk about exercising demons? There's your demons. You want to talk about... So here's the thing, right? Which is like... And again, I've talked about this before. I'm always worried about what the narrative is going to be. How is it going to play? What are the vibes going to be heading into the offseason? I think the vibes are going to be pretty... Not put down. Like, they're not going to be great if they lose in the first round, regardless of who they lose to or how they lose or how many games they lose. Like, this team wants to make a run. And we want them to make a run. And we believe they can make a run. So the vibes aren't going to be great if they lose in the first round, regardless of who they lose to or how they lose. That said, if they play Philly and that series, you know, goes seven games or six, even maybe six games, but probably needs to go seven. And Joel Embiid has the series of his playoff life and looks like the guy who can be the best player in the sport. And Maxey has a good series and Harris has a good series and maybe one or two other guys have a decent series and not through any fault of the Knicks defense. Like, my guess is you're going to be disappointed, but you're going to tip your cap. If the Knicks lose to the fucking Heat again, I struggle to imagine a scenario where that would not engender a lot of extraordinarily negative vibes, like very negative vibes heading into the off season. So, you know, but like, hey, you want to lose intentionally on Sunday and hope to drop to four into Boston side of the bracket? Like, I mean, you probably get an easier first round series, right? Against Magic. That'd be good. But is that what we want? I don't know. Thanks, Juanon. Sam Garcia, can we all take 10 seconds to laugh at the Nets? I think Andrew's gone. I'll give you a couple chuckles. How about that? I'm not good at the hearty har har laughter, but that made me laugh, and they should be laughed at to some extent. I don't know what the Nets are going to do this offseason. I don't know what they're going to do. They have some decisions in front of them that, like, I wouldn't love to have. Like, do you extend Cam Thomas this summer? What do you extend them for? You know, we talked about it a little bit tonight, the Nick Claxton unrestricted free agency. They got a couple other guys on their team that, like, do we trade them? Do we? And here's the thing. They don't have their pick, right? They don't have control of their pick for the foreseeable future, which is a problem for them. Thanks, Sam. Lucas Brum. What's going on, Lucas? First time, long time. Thank you for hopping on. Thank you for the generous contribution. Been listening avidly since COVID and just wanted to say KFS is the best part of being a Knicks fan. Thank you for an excellent season, man. I love when we get these comments. Thank you so much. I mean, this team's been awesome. So it's made our job very easy to be an accompaniment to this team because they just make it so easy. This is such a likable, it's the easiest group to love since I've been a fan. Like, we've talked a lot about, is it the best team in the, you know, since like the 90s and 92, 93, whatever. I don't know. It's definitely the most likable. I don't know how you don't love this team. They just make it so easy. They try so hard and they're good. Like, they might win 50 games, you know? Thank you. And I remember the COVID days well. That was quite a time. And I think I needed this as much as maybe other people did. So yeah. Thanks, Lucas.